Speaking on the program at this time is Brother James W. Boyd.
Now for our lesson this morning, dear brethren and friends, I want to speak to you about one of the bedrock matters of our faith and religion. I do not think that it is too much to suggest that that which I have in consideration this morning is really the battleground of religion, so to speak, in our time. It has to do with that which really distinguishes Churches of Christ from so much of the religious world, both in this and other countries. It has to do with the inspiration of the Bible and the nature of it. Now, the Bible is here. None can doubt its existence. We all have copies of it. How did it come into being? Who produced it? Where did it really come from? Is the Bible, as many claim, wholly a document produced by men, such as is true of even outstanding literature and other documents that men have written, both on social and political and other areas? I suggest to you this morning that man would not have produced the Bible even if he could have produced the Bible, for several reasons. First of all, in the Bible is the condemnation of so many things that men love and practice. Secondly, there is the commendation of and the exhortation to, yea, the commands for, many things that people despise. There is much in the content of the Bible that is and was beyond the ability of men to naturally be able to know by their own investigations at the time that they wrote these things. And the Bible would have condemned the very writers of it if they themselves had been the producers of it. For they contend that the Bible came from God. And the Bible condemns lying and deception. Indeed, they would have been self-condemning. But is the Bible wholly of God? And if it is, how did we get it? How did it get here? And if the Bible is wholly of God, how does one explain that there are so many different styles of writing in the Bible which indicate a number of different writers? Was the Bible presented to us, say, on the order of the way that the Ten Commandments were given to Moses on the 12 tablets of stone? Why do we have four records, abbreviated though they are, of the life of Christ? Friend, the truth of the matter is this. The Bible is the product of the combination of the efforts of both God and man. The Scripture explains its existence, that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21. In other words, the Bible itself asserts that holy men, selected, appointed, special men, were guided by the Holy Spirit of God in the writing of the Holy Bible. The question is raised, is the Bible inspired? And if so, what is the sense of that inspiration? Today there be many who would deny that the Bible is the Word of God, but they will readily admit that the Bible is inspired if you allow them to define what they mean by inspiration. They mean that the Bible is the result of people writing out of their experiences, people writing out of patriotic fervor, people writing out of their racial and religious prejudices, people who were inspired to write because of some emotional experience that they may have had. But you see, the Bible claims to be inspired of God. It is replete with such expressions, thus saith the Lord, that God spake, the Lord said, and this is what it claimed for Himself. The writers of the Bible never at any time pretended that they wrote totally of themselves, but they claimed to speak as they were moved and directed by the Lord. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, A passage of Scripture that ought to be on the heart of every Christian. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or whole, throughly or completely furnished unto all good works. This asserts divine inspiration, which necessarily would mean inerrancy, which would mean all-sufficiency, which demands authority. Friend, it is not the fact that just the Bible contains the Word of God, and this it does. It is not that the Bible reveals to us the sense of the Word of God, which certainly it does. But it is the very Word of God. Now, this is what the Bible claims for itself. I have already cited to you how that Peter said that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. When God was speaking to Moses in Exodus 4 and verse 12, he said, "Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach them what thou shalt say." David said, "The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue." 2 Samuel 23, 1 and 2. There is a highly significant statement by our Lord in Luke 24 and verse 44, when He said, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." Notice these three divisions. These were the divisions of Scripture of the Old Testament that the Jews recognized. This is how they divided what we call the Old Testament. These three divisions, the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms, contained the 39 books of what we refer to as the Old Testament. Our Lord gave His endorsement of the Old Testament. Our Lord endorsed the historic nature of the account of creation, not some myth, as disbelievers contend. Our Lord endorsed the literal historical account of the flood at the time of Noah, Matthew 24 and verse 37. Our Lord endorsed the historical record of Jonah being swallowed by the fish in Matthew 12 and verse 40. If our Lord didn't know the difference between fable and myth and truth, indeed, how could He claim to be the Lord? To attack these things as being mere myth and the concoction from the minds of men and like fairy tales is to deny the deity of Jesus Christ. Now, that's how serious it is when we take it upon ourselves to try to explain away the Scriptures. The Lord defeated the devil when He was tempted of the devil in the wilderness by quoting from the Word of God. Repeatedly He said, "It is written, it is written, it is written." And all of His quotations came from the book of Deuteronomy. Jesus promised His apostles what they would say, that they would be guided in all truth, that the Holy Spirit would bring to their remembrance whatsoever things He had taught them. He promised them that. And when they began to speak, they spoke as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts chapter 2. When the Apostle Paul preached, and what he preached, he said it was not after man, but of God. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 11. What Paul preached to the Thessalonians and that which they accepted, he said they had accepted not the word of man, but the word of God. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. When Paul was explaining the nature of Scripture, he said that they spoke not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 13. When John was writing to the churches in Revelation, he urged them to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, one may not believe the affirmations of the Bible. One may dismiss the claims of the Bible concerning it being the Word of God. He may not choose to accept that, but there is no honest way to deny that the Bible claims to be the Word of God. And if it lies unto us concerning that basic fundamental fact, by what rhyme or reason do I or you or anybody else have to accept anything that we would find in a book that is based upon a lie? Now, my dear friend, those who claim that they believe the Bible but would deny the divine inspiration of the very words of the Bible contradict themselves. For there is no way to accept the Bible except to accept it as the Word of God. Now, there'll be some at times who will object to Bible statements to support its own inspiration, but that's illogical and unfair. If you had a container and there was some liquid in that container and you wanted to determine the contents of that bottle, what would you analyze? Would you analyze something over here? Would you take note of these baskets or the songbook? Or would you study the content itself to determine what it is? If you had a metallic nugget of some sort here before you and you wanted to determine of what was its composition, was it gold, was it lead, was it whatever it was, what would you do? You would analyze that nugget. And so it is when we come to the Word of God. The only fair and logical thing to do, first of all, is to determine the very nature of its own claims. What is the nature of the inspiration of the Bible? Now, as I said, there be some that claim it's inspired, as Shakespeare would be inspired to write, or Milton, or some great composer of music, or some poem, or some great document, or something of that nature. And they would strip the Bible of any connection whatever with deity. But Paul said, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. What does that mean? It literally means it is God-spirited. It means that Scripture is God-breathed. It is filled with the breath of God. It means it is the product of the divine Spirit and has been given by God through His Spirit. Inspiration implies an influence that comes from without, producing effects that are beyond natural powers. And those who wrote claim that they themselves were overshadowed by a power outside themselves in the things that they wrote and revealed. Now let's look at two words for a moment. One of them is inspiration. The other is revelation. Inspiration includes revelation, but inspiration is more than just revelation. If you should come to me and inform me of some fact, of some circumstance, some condition, that would be a revelation. You would have revealed something to me. But the Scripture is of divine revelation. It was inspired of God, that which was revealed. And unless God is fallible, unless He is mistaken, unless He is guilty of error, then that which God has revealed is infallible. It is without mistake. There is no error therein. Now there be those in our world, and they are prominent and dominant in most religions, that have contended that only the thoughts of the Bible are inspired. Only the sense of it and not the very words. Well, there's no question the thoughts are inspired. But how can thoughts be inspired? And how can they even be expressed without words? That's what a word is. A word is a means of communicating the thought of one mind to another. And that's what God has done. He has chosen words to reveal His mind and thought to ours. And Jesus promised those who would teach with inspiration that He would guide them and the Spirit would guide them in what they taught. Now, this is verbal inspiration. Listen to me. Let me warn you of something. Let me urge you to be careful about something, which so many are so ignoring today and paying no attention to, even many in our brotherhood. There are many so-called versions of the Bible on the market that you can go to the store and buy. Most of these are produced by people who are of the conviction, not that the Word is inspired, but only the thought. Therefore, they, with admission in their introductions, contend they give you what the Word means, what God meant. But do you want what they say God meant, or do you want what God said? Now, I trust that you have reasonable and rational capacity to see the difference there. For somebody to come along and tell you, now this is what it meant, that's all right for him to say that. That's what we do when we preach and teach and try to explain. This is what we try to get across, the meaning of the term. But to say his comments as to what is the meaning is precisely what God said is another matter. From a volume that some denominationalist has concluded what God really intended and what He meant, rather than to give you what God has said and let you determine what it meant, is to follow after a faulty authority. And this is the reason that those who have studied the matter and care about the Word of God stand opposed to such modern perversions as this new international version, and the Living Bible, today's English version, and so many other distorted, faulty mistranslations that contain denominational doctrines rather than what God's Word has said. Let's understand that God has conveyed His mind to us through the use of words. Now, this is an important point to get. Inspiration did not mean the total suppression of the human faculties. God used the capacities and the knowledge and the experience and the vocabularies of human beings. Certainly deity was in a capacity to know the vocabulary of those whom he chose to write, and God overshadowed the selection of the words from their vocabulary, which revealed God's truth. They were not just taking dictation, except in some few places, like in the early books of Revelation. Chapters of Revelation. They were not just pure mechanical machines. God used man and man's vocabulary to explain God's will to man. This accounts for the fact that inasmuch as he used something over 40 different men to write the Bible, that you find different styles of writing. The vocabulary of Paul was not the same as the vocabulary of Isaiah. But God used the vocabulary of Isaiah to reveal those words and those prophecies and those teachings in Isaiah, just like He used the vocabulary of Paul to reveal certain things in the mind of God that He wanted man to know by the use of Paul's vocabulary and ability and even his experiences. Choosing the words, choosing the experiences, choosing the message that was to be revealed by divine inspiration. Let's understand this too. For one to be inspired had certain limitations. You know, to be inspired didn't mean that the inspired man was immune to bodily affliction. Paul was bodily afflicted. It didn't inspire them as astronomers and doctors and economists and other such things as that. They were inspired as teachers and writers and revealers of the will of God. It didn't even make them personally incapable of sinning. Nor did it mean that they agreed and accepted everything that they wrote, but it meant that everything that they wrote that God wanted man to know and reveal was accurate. It was true. It may sound as a little bit of double talk and confusion to say that everything they wrote was not true, but everything they wrote was true. Well, what in the world do you mean by that, Brother Boyd? Well, they even recorded the lies of the devil. They even recorded the denials of Jesus Christ. And when they recorded it, it was true what they recorded. They accurately recorded it, you see. Nor does it mean that they agreed with everything that they recorded. Because God showed both the plus and the minus. He showed both the true and the false. We will not have time this morning to cite, other than just list, the veritable multitude of evidences of the inspiration of the Bible, like pre-scientific knowledge found therein that man could not have known otherwise than divine revelation, the impartiality of the Bible, the fact that it does not cater to the human curiosities like where Paul died or how Christ looked or such things as that. From Genesis to Revelation, one revelation of God saving man through Christ, and that without contradictions. And when you study and rightly divide and handle aright the word of truth, you will see that there are no contradictions, and it is blasphemy against God to say that God contradicted Himself. The prophecies given literally hundreds of years before the event and the fulfillment precisely of those prophecies could not have occurred except by divine intervention and knowledge. And there are so many other things to which we can point, but time forbids it, such as the indestructibility of the Bible, the anticipation of the Bible to answer false doctrines that had come up through the years of their own thinking, the influence of the Bible through the years. There are just so many things to show. This could not have been solely the work of any group of men, nor would they have produced it. It is the Word of God as God revealed it through the words written by men. Now, what is the ultimate bottom line of all of this? It means the Bible is the Word of God, and therefore authoritative for all mankind. Therefore, necessarily, we are responsible to the revelation therein. We are accountable. We shall be measured by what God has revealed. We can see what God has done and what we must do to fulfill our mission in life and to be saved in heaven. This authoritative word will be that by which we shall be judged when each one stands before the judgment throne of God. It means here is the standard, here is the pattern, here is the final court of appeal. This is the Word of God. Therefore, we should learn it so that we might know it, that we might believe it and appreciate it and obey it in order to be the recipient of the blessings that God has offered to us through it. The Bible is the Word of God, inspired of God. May it be indeed a lamp unto our feet, a light to our pathway. In this Bible we learn that we are lost when we sin. We cannot save ourselves by ourselves, but God has provided a Savior. That Savior is Jesus the Christ, His Son. His Son came and lived the perfect life to give us the example to follow, to die on the cross as God's payment for our transgression, and to be raised from the dead in order to have the power to offer unto us life eternal. Indeed, we must come to Christ in order to be saved because He offers us heaven. But we must respond according to the Word. We must believe that Jesus is the Christ, repent of our sins, confess our faith in Him, and obey Him. And God adds us to the company of the saved that the Bible calls the church. If we rise from that watery grave to live faithful, we have the promises of God's Word that He will be with us and heaven will be our home. Such is the message of God's Word.